Liz Wright was forever changed by a physical visitation from Jesus Christ. This experience, along with many other encounters over the last 20 years, have created in her an insatiable hunger to live constantly connected to God's presence. Don't we want an impartation of that tonight? An insatiable hunger to live constantly connected to his presence. I believe we're going to have that tonight. When Liz speaks from this place, she flows in a wisdom and revelation that has helped thousands of people around the world into this same experience. And we are so blessed to have you tonight, Liz. Her greatest joy is to know God's love and to help people from every walk of life become confident, powerful, and whole as they experience his love for themselves and come to see the immense value of who they really are, our identity. As the founder and senior director of the Bridal Company, Liz travels the world as an international speaker, author, and spiritual advisor. When Liz is not traveling the globe, she can usually be found at home with her husband, daughter, and dog in the beautiful English countryside. So it is my greatest honor. I am so blessed to have you here, Liz. So everyone, welcome Liz Wright.
What an absolute honor to be welcomed in by the Indigenous people of the land. And I honor you. Thank you so much for opening your hearts and trusting me. And so I pray that as we start this time together, that you will hear for yourselves as I speak, that my words will become an escort for you deeper into the presence of God. As I've shared in different countries and different places and under the power of Holy Spirit, some of the testimony of my life, I'm his story as we all are, right? This is, please hear my heart. This is not about me. This is about who we are. Jesus has crashed in on my little life and breathed, and he's begun to redeem my bloodline in a profound way and teach me through experience something of who we are. So I don't come from a church background, but there's one particular aspect of my testimony that I felt that I was really to hone in on tonight, to impart fresh, well, Holy Spirit wants to impart fresh fire into you, fresh strength into you, to add to all that you already are. So Holy Spirit, I just yield myself to you right now, and I ask that I would be a conduit of your presence. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome the angelic ministry right now sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. I just ask that heaven's activity would begin to move in the room as I speak. I pray for fresh encounters for my family here. Fresh encounters with you, Jesus, that will wreck their lives, that this night will be a demarcation, because we're all desperate for reality, aren't we? We're all done with meetings. We want, this is a holy gathering, right? The precious ones here, the leadership here, have facilitated a gathering that's a setup for encounter, right? Wow. Woo! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When I was praying for you all, I've just been sitting, listening to Jesus' heart and listening to his heart for the land and just coming in a spirit of humility and honor and going low and just wanting to know who you are a little bit, what he would permit me to know of who you are as a land. It's funny, I keep referring to Alaska as a nation. You feel like a nation. I keep making that mistake, not calling you a state. So if I say nation, it's because it's what you feel like that in the spirit. Holy. So I saw the chuppah erected over our time, over the tonight and over tomorrow and tomorrow night. And I saw Jesus erecting it and covering us with his talit. And I saw the tassels on the edge of his talit, his prayer shawl, representing the covenant promises of God. And I could feel his protection over us, over you, and how holy you are to him, that I am on holy ground. And so I have taken very seriously what to say to you. I have relinquished control to Jesus. I don't want to just bring you something that I've spoken elsewhere that's not fresh for you. You know, even if I said one sentence, if it was from God, that's what it felt like. It's that you guys are so holy to him that I had to be careful with what I spoke. I could feel that the part of what, and I will share in a moment, part of what Jesus wants to do tonight is shift you, for those of you who feel weary, you know, come to me, says Jesus, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I felt that he was wanting, so we will give time to Holy Spirit. He will move as I'm speaking, as he is already, but at the end, we'll just, those of you that really need this, will wrap around you as family and stand with you and just pray that you get this impartation of fresh fire, of fresh power and strength. I felt like part of why he has invited me to partner with him here at this time is because he is activating the attribute of who we are in you at a completely different level. There's an invitation to go into Jesus and be activated in the office of kings. Wow. Wow. You know, we're prophets, priests, and kings, right? We have the privilege of being able to minister to the heart of our God, to move his heart and to live in that mystical union, in that oneness as his life. You know, we turn in our attention, the affection of our heart back onto him, onto the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And his life dispenses freshly into us, right? Reclothing us, refilling us with the attributes of who he is. We get to love him, praise him, worship him, adore him, see him. And then we move into that attribute of who we are as prophet. We begin to hear what's on his heart. He trusts us through the intimacy that we can now have with him, right? He trusts us with the secrets of his heart. We begin to come in agreement with the things that concern God, right? And then as kings, we can begin to decree a thing in authority, understanding something more of who we are, what's on his heart, because we're connected on the inside. We're back in that vibrant, living oneness with God, infused with him, infused with his nature, infused with his mind, infused with his power. That's the normal Christian life, right? And as we go on, we get battered and life happens, right? And the enemy's constantly fighting our capacity to understand our true identity, constantly battering at the connection to cause us to become weary, to numb out, to be so preoccupied with the busyness of life and the pain in our soul and the stuff that goes on in our everyday life that he tries to fill us up with lies, right, and a false worldview and all the things that are common to all of us. And Jesus this is a holy moment. This is a time where we can come back into the Holy of Holies, come back, lean into the strength of our stronger covenant-keeping God. That's his invitation. And be reignited, reinvigorated, fresh power, fresh strength, decontaminated from religiosity, washed clean from the accusation of the enemy, from the oppression. Wow. I felt like what the Lord was showing me was that there was a, I don't know, you, I mean, I offer these words for you to test because I don't have history of relationship with you guys here. But what, so in many ways that's really good because it's just raw. What's coming, there's nothing, there's no filter that it can come through of any kind of natural knowledge really. I saw you as a court, as Alaska, as a court of kings, like in a mobile court, and the Lord was inviting you into that place. It's like you are being, I'm sure you already are doing this, but there's another level of being able to assemble as kings in the court of the kings seated with Christ. As Alaska, you are watchmen over the whole continent. Wow. And I say that in the presence of God. This is his allocated authority, right? He appoints and he empowers. These words are not about us, they're about who we are now in Christ as he breathes through us his voice, his authority and love and compassion, his nature. So that's part of what I wanted to come in agreement with. As I finish what I'm going to share now, I wanted to just call this into being in agreement with the appointed leadership in the land, honoring you who live here, you who have been put as government in this land. I come in offering this word from God and with a lot of history behind what I'm saying, which I'll share in a moment. Honoring who you are, calling you into position in agreement with the Lord's heart, in agreement with you, releasing in agreement and releasing that new level of firepower, that new level. Holy, wow, to begin to legislate with Jesus at a completely different level. It really is true. We are in the time of the transfiguration of the bride. That's a whole other journey I've been on with Jesus. We are the shining ones. We are arising in this hour. We are taking our position through intimacy. We are being completely set free from religion, from all forms of godliness that lack power, from everything that hinders intimacy and oneness. We are coming forth radiant, looking like him. The bride at the end of the age looks like God, right? If you all the way through, there's a whole other story. Maybe I'll go into that tomorrow night, but where Jesus is, can I go right out the box on some of the things I share? Okay, family, right? I promise you it's all in the scriptures. That Jesus has been bringing the Apostle Paul to me and for about 2 years in different experiences. And what I've been being infused with is the, for us, corporately, because I've walked a walk for 20 years, it's an identificational place where Jesus speaks to me. There's personal transfiguration because of the experiences, but then there's always a corporate application. He shows me what time it is in the body of Christ. And so for about 2 years, the Lord has been increasingly showing me and imparting to me the knowledge that we're coming back into being able to walk in our Christian experience as the early church did. Like the gospel that Paul knew, as you look through his letters, it was all about, right, living in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, his life continually dispensing into us. Wow. The weapons of our warfare that are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds being the very nature of God himself, as we flow increasingly in his virtue. as we move in the opposite spirit, as he empowers us to do that, as we become increasingly filled with him, clothed with him, as we yield and surrender and walk in intimacy. Walking is a power emitting from our life because of who we are communing with on the inside, the Spirit of God resident inside of us. So to just give you a little bit of history, and as I'm sharing, please just let what I'm saying be dialogue between you and Jesus. You know, let everything I'm saying, it's the testimony of Jesus, right, which is the spirit of prophecy. So as one of us shares what Jesus is doing in our life, it's an invitation, right? It's a doorway for all of us. No matter how weak you might feel right now, as Paul says to us in 2 Corinthians 12, I think it is, you know, when he's struggling with the Lord about the thorn in his side, he's begging God, take the thorn and from my side. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. And when you look at that conversation in the original Aramaic language, at the end of that chapter, Paul says, I will rejoice in my weakness. And the actual language actually says, for my weakness is a portal into your power. Come on. There's just nothing outside of his redemptive control. So as you're listening to me, I'm talking to you truth. We are prophets, priests, and kings. The Lord is activating the office of king right now. He is releasing fresh fire so that you can walk victoriously. You can walk in authority, submitted to his headship as true redeemed royalty. True redeemed royalty, effective governmentally to decree a thing and see it established. So if the enemy is trying to tell you you're disqualified, you're exhausted, you're whatever, there's this brokenness and that brokenness and this stronghold and I've got this sickness and all the rest of it, that weakness is a doorway into you experiencing the power of God right now, right now. So even as I'm talking, if the enemy starts lying to you, that's for other people. You know, don't let the enemy bounce these truths off you through you feeling disqualified because of your temporal situation, because it's part of his story. As he gets hold of you, you give him the weakness. You allow it to become that portal through which his power will crash in on your life and start to redeem and transform and work together for good as he brings all things into conformity with the counsel of his will. How you doing? Is that okay? So my own bloodline, I'm very into bloodlines because of my own experience. I know the Lord is very serious about redeeming every aspect of our life. He's interested in redeeming our bloodline, the promises for us and our households. He is very into redeeming land. Before any defilement was on the land, he was there. The earth is his and everything in it. He formed it, right? So the dreams of God are in the foundations of the land. And as we get the privilege of going in and experiencing his heart and understanding more and more of who we are, what bloodline we're from, what having heaven's perspective, what our land is about, we come in agreement with truth. And we start, you know, we introduce ourselves, if you like, Romans 8, as sons of the kingdom to the land. And we start to see it being released from its bondage to decay. And we start to see the land beginning to release its resources for the purpose of the king. As you will know, as indigenous people, you have tremendous authority in the area of land. We have so much to learn, right? We must honor the people that the Lord chose to put in the land first. They are God's government, and we stand together. We stand together. So the fullness of his intention can come as we are united in Christ, agreeing with his perspective. So 500 years ago, I am from I'm not sure whether you are familiar with English history, but I'm from one of the royal houses. It's a very messy bloodline, but I'm from the Tudor bloodline. Henry VIII was the King of England. He was married, His second wife was one of my ancestors. This is an enormous story. So I'm going to, it's years and years and years of walk with Jesus and other people in England, but there's a very specific piece of it that I felt to impart to you tonight. So my family started institutionalized church in England. So Henry VIII set up what became the Church of England, which was a religious structure that was motivated, it came into being motivated by lust and adultery, because he set the institution up to be able to divorce his first wife. It wasn't birthed from the Spirit of God. It was very much about the religious spirit and the political spirit. So those, the hierarchy was not the headship of Jesus. Now, all these hundreds of years later, of course, in the Church of England, the people are God's treasure. So whatever expression in the body of Christ we belong to, the Lord is after people's hearts, right? So he doesn't like the structure when it's control. He doesn't like religion as we know. But he loves the people. So my family started that, and they started the empire on the back of the slave trade. So there was a mess in my bloodline. All these hundreds of years later, I was living my life. I was very, very broken. And I won't go into all of that story, but basically I was clinically depressed. I had a condition. I was through a period of time, I had a motor neuron transmission disorder, so I was dying through chronic suppressed stress. Over a long period of time, the chemical that transmits from the brain through the central nervous system to the muscles to enable me to move, my body stopped producing it. And so I started to shut down physically and I was dying. I was in an abusive marriage for many years. So I'm saying this to say I understand suffering. I understand pain. I understand depression. I understand demonic oppression. I was there. I lived it. I would not have survived my life if Jesus had not come. He's so good. He's so good. So I have never known, I did not come, even though that's my bloodline, and this will make sense in a minute, I did not come from church. I had not been churched. I was, I'd come out of a childhood where my mum had mental illness. So I had been, my brother and I were the children of a single mum who was mentally ill. She did the best she could. She's now in glory, praise God. But she, it was hard, you know, and we were thrust into relative poverty, so it was not easy. When I was 19, I ended up in a very dysfunctional relationship with a very wealthy person, and I was thrust overnight, chose, and ended up living in the high life in London. So to the outside world, and then I ended up bouncing through wrong relationships and ending up in a marriage with a very powerful, very wealthy man who neither of us should ever have been married to each other. I ended up having I have a beautiful daughter out of it. So that's the kiss from that chapter of my life, and I got saved in the midst of it. So I'm very thankful. But we were both need-driven, and we catapulted into a marriage that was not right. And there was a lot of carnage because of it. In that marriage, as I said, I was clinically depressed. I was very ill, and I cried out a desperate prayer. So to the outside world, I walked the walk and talked the talk and had everything materialistically. But inside, I was a devastated young girl trying to cope with an adult life. I was dissociated at all sorts of all of the emotional things that we struggle with in life. When stuff happens, it's really hard, right? We split and fracture and become depressed and so forth. And obviously everything that I'd come out of as my childhood, I didn't know who I was. So what I was trying to do was construct my identity through where I worked and who I knew and how I looked and money. And so safety was about trying to amass money, and I was being in relationships to try to belong. All the things that we do. I cried a desperate prayer and I just said, God, if you are real, help me. And that was it. The following morning, I'm fast-forwarding a very long story to get to the point, but the following morning, I woke up and I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had no idea what had happened to me. I had no language. So I hurtled headlong into a cult because I was trying to find people who talked about Jesus. Quickly got out of that. Realized this is not what I'm experiencing. Anyway, so I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was completely healed of clinical depression. Another experience, I was baptized with the love of Father. I was completely healed of motor neuron, completely healed. And all the years of suppressed lack of having a dad, lack of, you know, of neglect and suppressed anger and resentment and all that toxicity, it was blasted out of me by his love. And I just sat on the floor crying, Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And I was very blessed because I wasn't around anybody telling me that I couldn't do any of this. Woohoo! I was on my own, you know, so there was no grid, there was no theology. I was just living in experiences with Jesus, and Holy Spirit was teaching me. I was filled with the language of tongues, didn't know what was going on. It was bubbling up from inside me. I'm like, oh my goodness. Didn't stop speaking in tongues for about 2 days. Felt like I'd been plugged into the electric mains. There's so many things happening. I'm going back and forth in a storyline. This isn't a linear line. It's a linear story, but anyway, so I was filled with the conviction to discover the truth about the resurrection. So I started to study it like a lawyer. Again, fast forward, I was studying something in the Old Testament. I can't remember which scripture I was in, but it was describing crucifixion. And I realized from my clever studies that this had been written about 800 years before crucifixion had been invented as a method of torture. And even though I was spiritually awakened, so all from the point where I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, all my spiritual senses had awakened. So I was seeing in the Spirit. I was just full of Holy Spirit every day, so much so that my ex-husband thought I was having an affair, because I'd gone from clinical depression and being very angry and very toxic to full of love, just full of love. Like he thought I'd lost my mind, you know. So, and in my terrible immaturity, I was like, I just wanted to stay in my God bubble all the time. I didn't want to be around these toxic people anymore. I learned. I grew up a little bit. So anyway, Jesus used that one piece of knowledge to convict me, and suddenly I realized that it was all real. And now everything, bear in mind, my life was privileged. I was a multimillionaire and flying around in helicopters and jets and designer clothes and all this stuff, even though my life was crazy and I was desperate on the inside. Everything I'd ever known suddenly stopped. And in that moment, I realized it's all true. And everything I thought was reality and who I was not. And I was terrified. Now, I remember sitting on the bed in our house, and I just said, so at this point, I'd really been having relationship with Father and with Holy Spirit. And I just said, Jesus, you're alive, and I want to meet you. And I give you my life. That's it. There's no way back. And so everything that I had been to that point died. That was in the May, 94. January the 20th, 95, I was in the Seychelles on one of my exotic holidays, and what I would do is just close the curtains, my ex-husband would go out, and I'd just sit on the bed with God. Because I'd done it all. I was not interested in the trinkets of the world. I just wanted to understand what was happening to me, you know, and there was nothing else, you know, just nothing else. So I would just sit there all day with this. I didn't know any language, but it would be the Shekinah heavy presence of Holy Spirit on me. And I didn't know what that was. I just knew that God was there. And it was beautiful. And because I was living in abuse, so it was black and white, you know, and I would sit and be in love, you know, and then go back. And it would strengthen me to go back into my life. So on the 20th of January, I was sitting on the bed, and Mike's husband had come back in and he was watching a kung fu movie, and it was annoying me because it wasn't holy. Sorry, guys. I didn't think it was holy. It was annoying me. No, but because of it, when any of you have been in an unhealthy relationship dynamic, conflict resolution was not something we were very good at. So I would stuff the emotions, which is not the right thing to do, clearly. And so I sat on the bed and I was listening on my little Sony tape to one CD. Somebody had sent me one worship song and I was just listening to that all the time. And so I was just sitting listening to this one, I think it was Don Francisco or somebody like that. It was just one song. And I just went, God, take it, meaning take the anger. You know, it was desperate. And the second I said that, Jesus came and stood physically in front of me. And So everything, I won't go through the whole encounter now, but people always ask me, you know, many of us have seen him in different ways. The way he revealed himself to me was as a Jewish man. He looked about 5'10". He had black hair in the middle part too. He just looked Israeli, you know, to his shoulders. He had a long beige garment on and bare feet. And as he looked at me, light was pouring out of his eyes and it was shining off his skin and it was hitting me in waves. And in those first split seconds, I felt completely excruciating self-consciousness and shame. But in splits, I couldn't look at him. But the waves of his love was just power and it was pouring into my heart. And then he reached out his hands and he said to me, come with me. Always come and rest with me a while. And he took me up on a hill and I was fully, fully, fully gone. I had no conscious awareness of this world in this experience. I felt like I was gone for hours. And I just wept and wept and wept as he stroked my hair and wave after wave of love just crashed through me. And literally, I was transfigured. I was transformed. I was reintegrated. I was healed. So I know this is possible. I'm living proof of it. Now, I came out of that experience and his perfect love infused every part of me and healed everything from my life to that point. So I came out of that experience and I was shining. I literally was shining. My face was glowing. I felt like a newborn baby. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to speak. And of course, that kept me alive. I knew this whole thing is real. Jesus is alive. He is the King. He did rise from the dead. He is God. So I had religious spirits screaming at me through some dear people down the years, you know, and because they don't know, you know, the people don't know, and the religious spirit hates the true glory bride, which is who we are, those of us who are really walking in relationship with him, that love him, where he's come and indwelt us by his spirit, where we're not following a bunch of rules, but we're having a relationship and it's his life that's transfiguring us, not our efforts of striving. Of course, we choose a way of righteousness and we choose, but it's the life of God, right? Pulsating through us because of his resurrection spirit that changes us. So I came out of that experience and what was an impossible life for me a few minutes before, I now couldn't even see the sin. I couldn't see the sin. I had so much love pouring out of me. Now, I've had to learn boundaries because I've had to learn wisdom in how to apply love because I realized I did not feel offended anymore. So all of the fear and the fear-driven self-preservation and the risk managing and the rejection and all of that stuff that's common to us all was gone, was just gone. So that began my Christian life and my relationship with Jesus. And so there's so much story, but hurtling forward, Jesus began to, take me into experiences, and I realized that progressively I began to, I would just be with him as a normal way of life. You know, the Lord very quickly began to connect me with other intercessors, other members of the body of Christ who were also crazy about Jesus and crazy about the glory and just wanted to live Christ-centered living. And so thus began years and years of God adventures. But very quickly, Jesus began to talk to me about the redemption of bloodlines, and he began to show me experiences that I would then see in the scriptures. Like, he took me through experiences in the book of Ephesians. And please hear what I'm saying. This is to hold up a mirror to you and release even more strength to you to say, remember who you are. The way that you feel is not your identity. The enemy is big on identity theft. What I'm doing is saying, standing here testifying to what I've seen, what I know, and it's our reality. Things like, I've been in heaven, I've seen the final day. I have, in the culmination of history, where we are there, the moment when Jesus comes into view. I've seen us transfigured, standing next to Jesus in heaven as his counterpart, as his glorified bride, perfected in holiness because of the work of Holy Spirit, where we look like him. You know, I've been graced to see these things. I've been up in front of the Godhead and been fully filled with God, like Paul prays for us in Ephesians, where we are literally radiating the stature of Christ and the majesty of who he is. We're shining, shining. And these are not for a future day. This is now. This is to the degree we will yield and abide and surrender to his, the work of the Spirit inside of us, as we will prioritize him, even in the busyness of our life, just spending that time through the day, just recentering into his presence and breathing him in and loving him, just turning the affection and attention of our heart to him. More life fills us. So Jesus began to show me that, this was a big part of my life, that he would show me different aspects of who we are in him, and that I could, he would then shoot me out into the body to begin to testify and strengthen and impart and reinvigorate fresh strength to say, remember, remember who you are, and on assignments. So the next, well, I had lots of different experiences with him, but the next major, major transformational experience that I had with Jesus is the one that I felt that I was to share with you guys specifically. So Jesus was speaking to me about redeeming the bloodline, redeemed royalty, that aspect of who we are in him now, as kings, as royalty, servant-hearted kings who have leadership and governmental capacity. And that obviously I've done a lot of repentance for what my own family did in the atrocities of birthing the empire on the back of the slave trade, setting up the institutionalized religious church that has done untold damage in the nations, in various expressions, again, under the aggressive religious spirit that's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Holy. Wow. Holy. And I just release this word as like a soothing balm even into the land here. The power of the blood to completely cleanse and saturate this land from all levels. I agree with you, as somebody from a family line that has committed similar atrocities in the name of Christianity. I know the power of the blood and the intention of his heart to utterly heal, transform what the enemy has done for evil. Jesus will have the final word. And where you've been oppressed in any level of your life, individually and corporately, as a people, you will shine. You will be raised up by Jesus Christ as his trophy, and the enemy will weep. He will wish he never bothered. He never started because of the power that the Lord is going to pour, does and will pour through you as true royalty, true. And I just want to say, as somebody that comes from a family line that did that, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Where what happened way back in history rippled through the centuries and had an effect on your families. He's raising up royalty in this hour that looks like him, that truly governs. And you are kings. You are kings. And the government that he's formed in this land, I honor. And the strength that he's imparting to you in this hour, in multiple ways, your stature will rise up and you will be hope. You will be hope. You will shine and you will show people what true governance looks like, true authority in Christ looks like. And you will legislate and you will see not just this state, but you will see the nation, the continent come free, and you will touch the nations and kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. I can feel it in his heart over who you are. You are a holy people. No matter what's going on in your life, you may feel absolutely battered. You may feel completely oppressed and overwhelmed and worn out. I'm telling you, the King has come. The King has come, and this is your moment. This is your time to shine, and you will, because he is God, and he's fit you on like a glove. And by the time we have finished this conference, you will be in a completely different place. You will have seen the face of your covenant-keeping God. You will have stepped back in and tasted the sweetness of his presence all over again. And you will be filled with strength. He's only just started. The nations are his inheritance. Psalm 2 is activating in our hour. And no matter who is in office in the natural, it's those of us now that are taking our seats of responsibility and saying yes to this invitation to understand who we are as redeemed royalty, as those that have been entrusted with the stewardship of land, of peoples, of nations. This is true. This is who you are. We are rising in this hour, looking like him, yielded under his headship, understanding that apart from him we can do nothing, but in him and through us, his body now, we are an extension of the being of God. We are the mouthpiece of the Lord, and he breathes his redemptive, reconstructive, transformational life through us. And everywhere we go, we release the atmosphere of heaven, the abiding presence of the King, the domain of the King, the kingdom comes. And whatever it touches will be transformed, because he's bringing everything back into its pre-full state in our hour. I get the privilege of traveling around and seeing different people in the body of Christ and seeing what the Lord is doing in different places. And he is moving. He is moving. He's breathing through and he's reviving his people. He's reviving the bride in our capacity to understand our identity, to walk in intimacy, to understand the true, undiluted, unpolluted gospel, to experience him, to drink from him, to live from the source of the tree of life all the time, not having bad days and good days and living in the impact of our natural circumstances, but learning to live in him, having God days, drinking from the tree of life. He's reviving us so that we, all division can be removed out of our midst, all competition, all orphan states of living, all false identity and the fruit of false identity. It's going on in our hour, this we are shifting out of false identity and all wrong definitions of who we are. We are reconnecting. We are being recalibrated, strengthened, united, becoming family. This is happening. This awakening is happening. We are arising. We are becoming who we truly are in God. And as this happens, united in honor and love, submitted to his headship, he will flow and he will bring revival. He will bring revival. First, he's moving through us. And obviously, there are pockets all over the world that are being touched by God and his sovereignty. But there's a level that's coming. And I believe what's starting now will not stop until he returns, because there's an acceleration of the transfiguration of his people. And we're learning how to move as prophets, priests, and kings like never before, all from that place of intimacy, simply by enjoying him. That's the key. One of the scriptures the Lord's been having me release recently is Song of Solomon 7:7. If you study that scripture, it's all about intimacy, the key to overcoming, standing tall, being victorious, is to the degree that we will share the garden of our heart, have that love connection with Jesus. It's all about relationship, as we know. It's not complicated. It's not 55,000 steps and rules and regulations and all of these complex wisdoms. It's Jesus. That's what Paul has been telling me. Everything is about Jesus. We are coming back to being able to really enjoy him and know all of our needs met through his riches in glory. He becomes the one who fulfills our life and meets our every need, and reveals himself through us, extends his compassion and his mercy and his wisdom through us, simply as we look at him. It's amazing. So I want to just finish and then give some time for you guys to respond and just do some ministry, because I want whoever feels that they want to step forward and say yes to this, to coming to this next level of capacity of intimacy, stepping out of the weariness, all the stuff that's been in your life to this point, just allowing him to recalibrate you, going back into the presence of your covenant keeping God. He told me he wants you to know him as faithful and true. He wants that to be the testimony of your heart, that you know him to be faithful and true, and what has seemed impossible in your life, he's going to breathe on as you allow that weakness to become his doorway into experiencing the power of who he is, the transformational power of who he is. And even those of you whose hearts are weary and even trying to believe for a breakthrough, I get that. Again, there's fresh grace, fresh strength available in this time under the chuppah, where he's activating again all the promises of the covenant. So I was in worship. This is in finishing. I was in worship and I was with a couple of friends of mine, and the whole atmosphere just changed and the holiness of God just began to move into the room. And so we were kneeling down, I think, as the holiness just started to fill the atmosphere. And the next thing, Jesus walked in the room with Holy Spirit, and he was dressed as the king. And it's the only time that I've seen him dressed like that in regal regalia, golden garments, a crown on his head. And at one and the same time, as he stood there, I was crying and screaming, and what was coming off his being was tender compassion and stately authority at the same time. And he reached towards me. Holy Spirit was on his right, to the right of me. And he reached his hand out and he said to me, will you be the Queen of England? And of course, that's an outrageous statement, you know, and so I had no idea what he was talking about, but because he was there, my mind, I quieted my mind very quickly. I was thinking goofy thoughts, you know, because I was like, Lord, I have no idea what you mean. You know, my family were a raw bloodline, but it was 500 years ago. And so I couldn't connect it. But because he was there, I quieted my mind and I just yielded and said, Lord, I don't understand, but let it be unto me according to your will. And he reached out his hand and he touched my face and he said to me, my Elizabeth, my queen. And then Holy Spirit came over to me and overshadowed me. He put his arm over the top of me and I was infused. And all I can express of what happened was that my identity was changed in that moment. And the aspect of who we are as royalty was switched on. My capacity to walk as redeemed royalty from my bloodline now. My bloodline were royalty that was broken and abusive and full of mixture. And the fruit was not good. And I believe that royalty is supposed to show us attributes of the nature of the king. They're supposed to model for us servant-hearted leadership, to serve the people, to uphold the gospel, to serve and empower as leaders there for the good of the people. But we understand when people are powerful but orphan in their hearts, they don't know who they are, they're not submitted to the headship, they're not flowing in wisdom, they can only build out of the substance of who they are and what they know, right? What Jesus was doing was, at that point, he shifted me into an office of responsibility and an understanding of royal responsibility in Christ that's all about serving, that's all about honor and empowerment and authority in the Spirit, where out of our relationship with Jesus, as he gives us utterance and he gives us perspective and Holy Spirit moves, we speak. We speak a thing and it begins to be established. We start to co-reign and rule with him out of relationship, understanding the power of who we are now in God and taking that responsibility very seriously, because we do have the power of life and death in the tongue. And when the Lord switches this power on inside of us, we have a responsibility and accountability to heaven for it. But it's who we are. So from that moment, I was different and I began to operate in a responsibility in that office as a queen in England. And so to go out in the opposite spirit to how my ancestors had behaved when they were establishing the empire and amassing wealth to themselves at the cost of countless lives, Jesus began to show me that some of redemption looked like his huge mercy was that he took my tiny little life and he went, looked down the bloodline and he went, now, that's what he's done to you. Come on. What's he going to do through our yielded little tiny lives when God breathes? Can a nation be changed in a day? You bet it can. It can, and it will, because the nations are the Lord's. And when we begin to understand the delegated authority that we have been given and who we are, and we start to allow God to define who we are and begin to prioritize him above all other loves, and we get rid of the idols and the props and the stuff that holds us intact that is not God, we let go and we push through the fear and the pain barrier of, if I don't do it, I'm going to collapse. And just dare to believe, Jesus will meet you there. I promise you, he will meet you there. And he will begin to move through your life and you will start to partner in the redemption of this planet like you would not believe. So I began to move out. I would come into assignments in America, many different assignments in America, into different spheres of authority. And I began to realize that Jesus was using my testimony to power into people the truth of our identity and break off people, false identity, low self-esteem, low self-worth, insecurity. He began to activate the supernatural, like I would share the testimony of Jesus, and like now the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of God begins to activate. Holy Spirit moves on the truth of his word and starts to bring it forth. And people started to have encounters. Some for the first time, people would get healed. Emotional healing was the predominant thing, is the predominant thing that starts to happen. We've had lots of physical healings, but it's an identity that where we have that identity crisis, where we have identity theft, Jesus literally snatches you out on a heart level from all that rubbish that has been sown into your life, that has created a construct that's a deception. When you believe anything that is contradictory to who God says you are and that is of the nature of God, if you believe about yourself you are something other than the nature of God, that is not the truth. That is your temporal emotional state. It's not the truth. The truth is you are the made, you're the living, breathing halah of God. You are the living, breathing image of God. He's bringing you forth, fashioned and formed in the perfect likeness of who he is. He's the firstborn among us. As we look at Jesus, we recognize who we are. We are made, the very substance of his being is now in the center of who we are. I love that. The Spirit of God. It's no longer I, the Adamic nature that lives, right? It's Christ that lives in us. The hope of glory, the surety, that word means, of glory. So I came out of that experience completely wrecked, overwhelmed with awe. I couldn't speak for hours. I literally didn't know how to communicate something that was so holy. And I didn't know what it meant. I knew I had been changed. I knew I had a stature in me and a firepower that, because I'm like, feminine. I'm not kick butt masculine woman type. You know what I mean? I don't have any masculine in me. I don't. And so I had always been, you know, very, very feminine, very girly. And suddenly I had this like power inside me. I had to get used to it. Whoa. But it's the lion, isn't it? It's the lion of the tribe of Judah that roars through us in the face of injustice and the demonic strongholds that hold our people in captivity. I hate it. You know, and when you see the devastation of darkness in society, and Jesus is calling us to get up in this hour, shake the dust off our feet, break the shackles off our ankles, take off the bondage and rule, rule. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Holy. There was a sound when you guys were worshiping earlier. With the drums, oh my goodness, the authority that was on that sound. Wow. It was amazing. I could hear the strength coming out from Alaska. You know, we need you. We need you. We need you in England. We need you. There is stuff that you carry in your DNA in God that is about governance, true stewardship, true governance, that we need to learn. In the body of Christ from you. We need to understand it. We need to see you guys shining. And that's the other thing that I kept feeling, that you will, like I said before, you will arise and shine. You I'm sure are, but there will be more visibility about who you are, because the Lord says in Ephesians, you know, He parades us as a spectacle of the manifold wisdom of God, right? Before the powers and the angelic realms, we're teaching. Jesus is teaching, showing us off to the realms in glory, to the other principalities and powers, as he reveals the fullness of the manifold wisdom of God through us. We are the display of his splendor. God, the enemy just keeps us so oppressed and bound, doesn't he? So we can't see as heaven sees. I sit with the Lord like with these truths, and I just like, Lord, just blast this off in me. Let every fiber of my being understand what I'm reading right now, what I'm seeing right now, who we are. Not so that I can be this, oh, woohoo, look at me. It's nothing to do with that, but so that I can operate glorifying him and knock off this false identity that has shrouded over swathes of the body of Christ under religion. When people, you know, when I was with Jesus, I don't like it when people are told they're wretched sinners. Because, I mean, we have a responsibility to repent, meaning realigning back into the nature of God all the time. We're adjusting the rudder of our heart, right? Recalibrating ourselves back into alignment. That's not beating ourselves up, right? With negativity. We're not sinners. We've been delivered, right? From the sin is just the fruit of the sin nature, which no longer exists. When I was with Jesus, he never once talked to me about my sin. He never said, you mustn't ever do that again, and da-da-da-da-da-da. I had a nanosecond of conviction. And then all that I felt from there on in was this cascading, complete, perfect love that just poured through me. And I have never felt love and acceptance like it. Total, we are beloved by God, as you know. So, in closing, I wanted to just give us time, because the most important thing about our time together is that this is real for you, that you don't just hear what we each say, but you engage into the experience of what you hear. This is about your relationship with Jesus and you going to a completely different level of intimacy, of capacity to hear him and see him, and of being aligned on the inside, back in the presence of your covenant-keeping God, under the protection of his hupa, his presence. Every trace of false identity gone, and with that kingly stature activated within you, so that you can take your position experientially in the court of the kings, over your families, your life, your friends, your ministries, your work, whatever, your nation, your village, whatever he's given you a heart for, a responsibility for, where you can partner with him and start to push back the darkness, not fighting demons, but by agreeing with the perspective of heaven and decreeing that over the top, right? We come over the top. And release the truth because of the finished work of the cross, because of the power of the blood. The earth is his and everything in it, and it's now releasing as we emerge as the sons of the kingdom in this hour, shining with his virtue. He's releasing the land from its bondage to decay. Wow.